Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Kotak Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited. To discuss the 4Q performance of Chola and share industry and business updates, we have with us the senior management today. I welcome Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Ravindra Kundu, Executive Director, and Mr. Arul Selvan, President and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Vellayan for his opening comments, after which we'll take the Q&A.
Nischint, thank you, and good morning, everybody. So we'll just go through the key financial results for the quarter and for the year ended March 31st, 2024. The disbursements were at 24,784 crores for the quarter, which is up by 18%, and 88,725 crores for the year, which is up by 33%. The total AUM stood at 153,718 crores, which is up by 36% year-on-year. The net income for the quarter was at 2,913 crores, which is up by 41%, and 9,986 crores for the year, which is up by 38%. The PAT was at 1,058 crores for the quarter, which is up by 24%, and 3,423 crores for the year, which is up by 28%. So in terms of our performance, we've delivered the best-ever disbursals, collections, and profitability in Q4 FY24. Vehicle finance grew by 6%, aided by steady growth. LAP grew by 55%, and home loans grew by 24%, driven by geographical expansion into Tier 3 and Tier 4 locations. Disbursement growth in the other businesses was at 24%. Aggregate disbursements were at 24,784 crores, as against 21,020 crores in Q4 FY23, which is a growth of 18%. And like I said, for the year, the growth has been 33%. Vehicle finance disbursements were at 12,962 in Q4 FY24, as against 12,190, which is a growth of 6%. And disbursements for the year were at 48,348 crores, as against 39,699, which is a growth of 22%. The loan against property business disbursed 4,273 crores in the quarter, as against 2,762 in Q4 FY23, which is a growth of 55%. And disbursements for the year were at 13,554, as against 9,299, which is a growth of 46%. Home loans disbursed 1,747 crores in Q4, as against 1,405 crores, which is a growth of 24%. And for the year, disbursements were at 6,362, as against 3,830, which is a growth of 66%. SME disbursed 2,136 in the quarter, which is a 2% growth. And disbursements for the year were at 8,106 crores, which is a 27% growth. Consumer and small enterprise loans disbursed 3,301 crores in the quarter, as against 2,364 in the same quarter last year, which is a growth of 40%. And disbursements for FY23-24 were at 11,281 crores, which is a growth of 64% over the 6,865 in FY23-24. Secured business and personal loans has disbursed 366 crores in the quarter, as against 196, which is a growth of 87%. And for the year, disbursements were 1,074, which is a growth of 138% over 451 crores in FY23-24. The AUM as of March 31st, 2024, stood at 153,718 crores, and that's a growth of 36%. PBT growth in Q4 was at 24%, and for the year, PBT growth was at 27%. PBT ROA for the quarter was at 3.9%, and PBT ROA for the year was at 3.4%. ROE for the year was maintained at 20.6%. So the company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 7,899 crores as cash balance as of the end of March 2024, including 1,500 crores each invested in G-Sec T-bills and 765 crores invested in strips shown under investment. With a total liquidity position of 8,315 crores, including undrawn sanction lines, ALM is comfortable with no negative cumulative mismatches across all time buckets as per regulatory norm. The consolidated PBT for the quarter was at 1,428 crores, as against 1,163 crores, which is a growth of 23%, and for the year, 2,605 crores, as against 3,615, which is a growth of 27%. In terms of asset quality, stage 3 reduced to 2.48% as of March 24 from 2.82% at the end of December 23. So we've continued our improving trajectory here. GNPA as per RBI norms reduced to 3.54% as of March 24 as against 3.92 in December 23. And NNPA dropped to RBI norms dropped to 2.32% as against 2.56 on December 23. NNPA is below the threshold of 6% prescribed by RBI as a threshold for PCA. In terms of capital adequacy, the CAR of the company as of March 31st, 2024 was at 18.57% as against the regulatory requirement of 15%, and Tier 1 capital was at 15.1%. The board of directors of the company has recommended a final dividend of 70 paise per share, which is 35% on the equity shares of the company, subject to the approval of the members of the company at the ensuing annual general meeting. This is in addition to the interim dividend of ₹1.30 per share for the financial year 2023-24 declared by the company on January 25, 2024. The Board of Directors of Cholamandalam Home Finance have also approved an equity infusion of ₹25 crores in Cholamandalam Securities, which is both of which are wholly owned subsidiaries, subject to the approval of the regulator. So, Nishint, we'll stop with this comment and we'll be happy to turn it over to you. Thank you.
Yes. Let's start the Q&A session. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to strictly two questions per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue. The first question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. First, on the disbursement and AUM growth outlook for FY25, can you just please help with some sort of a breakdown among the different segments? That's one. And second, if you can also help with the balance transfer trends across your different products, that would be helpful.
So disbursement growth will be 20 to 25%, and the AUM will be 25 to 30. Best case scenario 30, but worst case scenario we'll do 25. The balance transfer is only pertaining to LAP and maybe little home loan, but home loan we don't do much balance transfer.
So 45% of generally of our disbursement, see, he's asking more about the disbursement. So 45% of our disbursement comes from balance transfers.
Yeah.
What sort of a transfer you are seeing, I mean, the loan going out of your portfolio, so, maybe because of some?
Interestingly, out of the closures, the about 40% are balance transfers.
Okay.
Out of the total closures.
So you are asking the segmental growth for the businesses. We are giving cumulative for the Chola in terms of disbursement and AUM growth. As of now, segmental disbursement and AUM growth, we are not talking.
Yeah, and I ask that because I mean on the CV side there is kind of a bit of a slowdown that's sort of expected. So then, and of course now incrementally, I mean over the years your non-vehicle portfolio also had gained size, and that is where I mean sort of we're trying to get an idea that okay, if this vehicles were to slow down and then of course on a larger base, how much sort of this can pull it off the non-vehicle, and that is why sort of any color on that. You know, whether it's LAP or any sort of a new product you are thinking of, that would be helpful.
See, on the contrary, the vehicle number, CV number for the month of April, we got it cumulative number published or data from the manufacturer for the April is actually looking better. So, if you take that number as the industry number, obviously what we are committing or talking about 20% disbursement, including the used business growth and the mix of the disbursement and our reach in the country, because today we are present in 1300 plus branches and 600 RLX, so put together 1900 touch points are available for us. And we are not only focusing commercial vehicle, but we are also focusing passenger vehicle, construction equipment, tractor, two-wheeler, three-wheeler, all used vehicle of commercial vehicle, passenger vehicle, tractor and construction equipment. So therefore, we are quite comfortable that we can deliver 20% growth in vehicle finance.
Yeah, quickly, last one, I mean, if because you are now into all reasonably into passenger vehicles, and a lot of your passenger vehicles typically will be entry-level one. So what kind of a trend you are seeing in the passenger vehicles entry-level segment? Because that has been under stress for quite some time.
Well, it's been good only. So last year, it was actually double-digit growth in passenger cars. And entry-level cars, especially tier 4, tier 5 towns, also started in sales, seeing the sale. So that is helping us to get the number at our rate. Because we are not into salary class, which is being funded by banks mostly. The self-employed customers are buying entry-level cars in Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4 towns are actually our customers. We are doing that.
Okay. Helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Next
you.
Question is from the line of Dhaval from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on good performance. I just had two questions. First is on slide 67. Thanks for this additional disclosure on new business profitability. The question is, you know, on each of these sub-segments, CSEL, SME and SBPL, how do you see the normalized PBT ROA, you know, over the next couple of years? And specifically on CSEL, if you could talk about the net credit loss after FLDG, how does that stabilize in the next couple of years? So that's the first question, profitability of each of these businesses. The second is on slide 18. You've given this new, color-coded your last 15-year trajectory and given this idea of new growth over the last couple of years. Should we expect on a more medium-term basis the current growth trajectory that where we are, you know, over a period of time, that's the CAGR that one should think of somewhere around 25 to 30% over the next few years? And just if you could give some perspective around that, that would be useful. Medium-term growth. Thanks.
Yeah. So let's start from CSEL. CSEL is at 2.9. You asked a good question, actually. I'm also asking Balraj to deliver more and more in terms of ROA. He's also committing to increase it. We don't want to disclose what target we have given it to Balraj, but definitely we will go from 2.9, it will definitely go up. And in 2 years' time, we will reach the peak. So the opportunity to grow ROA will not get over in this year only. In next year also, we will further grow. In SME, the ROA growth opportunity is slightly less than CSEL. But Pankaj is also committing that next 2 years he will be taking it up slowly. And SBPL is a great opportunity for us. From 3.9, huge number we can take. I mean, that is one of the highest ROTA division going to be in the Chola. So that's what we are committing, or Ashish is committing to me. I am not committing to you. We are expecting that we will be touching good number in 2 years' time. Coming to the NCL line 4.4 of CSEL is actually 3.4 or less than 3.4. And as we basically, we also said that we have already defined what would be our strategy in partnership. We have defined 4-5 partners who are doing very well. So including that, the performance of this CSEL partnership book will further improve and NCL will go down. So the ROA increase expected from two line, when the expenses will go down, the losses will improve. And that is applicable for all SME and SVPL also.
And your second question, broadly, yes, is kind of, you know, is the answer to your second question.
Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good quarter. I just have one question. Is there any one-off in the OPEX line item? And also going forward, if you could just give us some color as to by when can we expect the operating leverage to kick in, given that we are anticipating good asset growth. How should we look at this OPEX line item going forward? Thanks.
Yeah, see, in Q4, generally, a lot of catching up happens with regard to CSR expense, etc. So, in Q4, and then we also, Q4 being, best of best quarters, you need to provide for incremental incentives, etc. So, such one-off expenses happens in every Q4, likewise this time also. And we stick to our original stance that we should be at the 3% to AUM as the OPEX line, we are working towards that. Yeah, for the full year, we missed it by 10 basis points this year, but I think next year we should be there. We still work at 3% of keeping it below 3%.
Okay, perfect. That's helpful. Thank you and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. And sir, congratulations on another good quarter. And again, thank you for providing the enhanced disclosures on the key newer businesses. So I just wanted to kind of take forward what you commented on OPEX. So very clearly, if I look at the fourth quarter employee expenses up almost 100% year over year, you just explained there are some annual incentives also. Just wanted to understand the annual incentives are always there in the fourth quarter or we kind of keep providing for it in all the four quarters. And maybe a related question here on OPEX is, very clearly some of the newer businesses, because we were in investment mode over the last 2 years, were a drag, I would say. But now how do you see economies of scale from the newer businesses? Especially on the OPEX line. Arun, sir, you've already guided that you want to stick to that 3% OPEX to a year, but just some more color there will be helpful.
So we'll respond to your question.
Abhijit, can you repeat the question?
Sir, I think, it was more on the OPEX again. Arun, sir, you've already guided that there were some annual incentives and CSR expenses, and that for the next year also we want to stick to a 3% OPEX to a year. Just wanted to understand a lot of the drag on the OPEX, especially in employee expenses, could also have been coming from the newer businesses, given that they are expanding it to more number of branches. Just wanted to understand, for how long we'll remain in this investment mode in the newer businesses? What is the thought process there? Do we want to offer these three products, CSEL, SME, and SBPL, across all our branches? Is what I was just trying to understand. Just some more color there on the OPEX.
Abhijit, I mentioned that, the ROA expansion for CSEL, SME, SBPL is going to come majorly from the OPEX reduction, because their now base is going up and the productivity of the people who've been recruited in last 2 years have started delivering more, and we have seen that Q4 that they have delivered little better ROA than annual ROA. And this is going to be continued because the branches are set. I'm talking from more from the traditional point of view, because CSEL traditional, they opened up branches and now they are delivering close to 600 crore per month. That is going to go up with the same manpower. They're going to increase my, definitely some more branches, but those branches will have a, you know, similar concept of vehicle finance, where we are opening up RLH with the lesser manpower and then expanding it after achieving the threshold of the volume. So that way expenses will be controlled and it will go down from 5.1 of CSEL to, we are expecting reduction in a phased manner. 2 years, it should come down to at least good number. And same SME, actually we see that SME, their ROA, their expenses are 2.3%, which is higher than the LAP. But their customers are finer than the LAP customers. So obviously, they should deliver lower OPEX than LAP. That is what their target. So they are doing it. SBPL also, if you see that 13.4%, it will come down. So in spite of we expanding in all three divisions, we will be reducing our OPEX as well. And that's the main important thing for increasing the ROA in these businesses.
Got it, sir. Thank you. So, and just one last question. Maybe sorry, two questions that I had. One is, sir, I mean, we've been hearing that the last 2-3 months, right, I mean, elections have had some slowdown, in particularly in the vehicle finance segment in terms of demand and activity. So, I mean, do you expect that, I mean, post-elections, post-budget presentation, maybe by August, September, when we kind of start the festive period, demand can start recovering? That's the first question. Maybe the second question that I had. And the third question I had was to Arul sir again. Sir, I mean, cost of borrowings look like they are peaking out. Margins are stable for the last couple of quarters. How are we thinking about cost of borrowings and margins now?
So from demand side, as you said is right, there are two things happening. You know, one is the elections are happening till May end, and June only we will get a full 3 months to start working in fullest capacity across the country. Second is that it is Q1. So both put together, there will be slight slowdown in the first quarter. But as far as vehicle industry is concerned, in the first month, in the month of April, we see that they have delivered better numbers than last year. So last year their growth was negative. This year they started with 15% growth. Across other product put together, the growth has been actually 20% plus in April month. So that 26%
growth over previous April.
So that is a good news, because if at all it is a wholesale number, if the wholesale number is good, the retail number will happen better in the month of May and June, and our numbers are also in line with that. So, and this is only new vehicle we are talking about. In addition to new vehicle, we have 34% used vehicle. We are doing it. And new vehicle means new commercial vehicle, where the growth is 13%. New vehicle put together, all other segment is 26%. So it looked like it is actually, moving in the right direction. And as we mentioned that, you know, the demand in terms of the commercial vehicle has been at the lower side, even in this last financial year also. And we have done better last year. That is because our used vehicle business has gone up from 27% disbursement portfolio mix to 34% disbursement mix. And high-yield businesses like two-wheeler, three-wheeler also, we have done better. We will continue to do that, and that is the reason we are comfortable in delivering 20% disbursement growth and 25% AUM growth in vehicle finance. And the growth will start looking better in the Q3 onwards.
With regard to cost of funds, the cost of funds, we will endeavor to hold it at this level. As we widen the borrower profile from banks to other sources like ECBs, there can be a slight increase, but we will continue our negotiations to keep it at this level. and hopefully by H2 as predicted or as expected, if there are reductions in the market, that should also flow through.
Look, it essentially means that, I mean, there is still that scope for a margin expansion, given that cost of borrowing, like you're suggesting, puts...
I know we don't want to comment or commit anything on margin expansions. We are back to the pre-COVID levels. I would say we should be happy there. As portfolio mix changes, as cost of funds, benefits come through or not come through, accordingly, there will be marginal changes in the margin. But I don't see any large shifts happening.
But ROA level, we are expecting that from 3.4, it can go up to 3.5.
Overall, across OPEX.
And if you see that, we have given 10 years data where pre-COVID level, we were at 3.7 peak, where the cost of fund used to be 6.9 to 7.1. And that time, our income was 14.7. So we are at 14.4. So that income line has to go up. The income line will go up with the help of vehicle finance, which is actually fixed rate, and we are continuously doing higher yield business for last 1 year. And this year, we will see that the income will go up.
Got it, sir. This is very, very useful. Thank you so much and all the very best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sandeep Jain from Baroda BNP Paribas Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir. Thanks for taking the question. Just to, addition to what Dhaval has asked about the new business, what kind of credit cost we are building in when we are, kind of pricing, especially the SBPL and SME product, because it looks like the majority of the, apart from the yield improvement, you see the year-on-year credit cost is declined. And as a thought process, how provision coverage will look like for this new business? It would be lower than the company overall provision coverage business, or you would like to have higher provision coverage on this 2-3 new businesses?
Yeah, see, these loan losses in the new businesses, in SBPL, if you're asking, it will increase the rate over the years, but that would be more than offset by the savings in OPEX, as Ravi was saying earlier. So SBPL is a slightly riskier business, there the loan losses will be slightly higher. But this is the trend of the industry, but we will try to keep it lower. But with regard to the provision coverage, we are now adopting a provisioning, percentage with, which is not really driven on the ECL model, because we don't have adequate data, past data to prove it. We've taken industry norms and built, sufficient incremental provisions over that to make sure that they are conservative. As we reach 3 years of full run of these businesses, we will start creating PDLGDs for this based on our own experience.
So just to elaborate it more, if I look at the current provision coverage ratio of all this 2-3 new business, it is somewhere around range of 33% for SME or 25% for SBPL kind of thing, right? The slide number 29 which shows. In terms of going ahead, probably when the ECL model has not developed, so just to understand the thought process, whether we would like it to somewhere around 50-60% and then the ECL model will develop, then we will see the what is the current thing which is happening. Because currently also ECL model has not been developed, right?
That is why you see a difference in the provisioning for CSEL, which is an unsecured business where we have taken to 50%. And within the stage 3, different provisioning numbers prevail with regard to the aging of the book, even in CSEL. And SME is actually the most safest business. Still, we are providing almost like 39-40% out there, which is as good as like a LAP or a HL, where we are creating. It's better than LAP and HL, because the customer profile is different. If you see that pyramid we have put out there in I think slide number 12 or 13, you see that it is the best quality customers out there in that segment. SBPL, it will increase a bit. Right now, because it is a very small number, and right now the portfolio which is in stage 3 is very, very small, it is reflecting like that. But as it moves up, it will increase, as I said earlier.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alpesh Chatin Mehta from 360 One Asset Management Company, IIFL Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning and thanks for the opportunity and congrats for the good set of numbers. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, just one clarification. There is a lot of confusion related to this growth number. So I think we are talking about overall AUM growth of around 25 to 30%, disbursement growth of 20 to 25%. The vectors within the growth rate will change. Is that right?
Yeah.
AUM growth around 25%. You keep it simple. Let's not have any band or not. You said 25%, right? Because as we go into Q1, Q2, when we know more clarity emerges on the monsoon and post elections, we can come with a little bit more specific number. We are always conservative. Yeah.
Okay, so looking at the current scenario, at least you are confident about 25% overall AUM growth.
Yes, correct.
Perfect. Okay, and secondly, sir, I see there has been we have done during the quarter a large investment into a corporate office. So any rationale related to that, if you can provide?
We purchased the land to build our own corporate office. We are working out of more than 4 or 5 centers within Chennai itself. So we needed to bring all of them together, and I thought it would be, it was a general consensus among the management and the board to look for a big corporate office and build it up. It will take 2-3 years to complete the whole construction, etc. But this is the first step towards that.
Okay, perfect. But at least it will not have any immediate benefit on the P&L per se. Whatever benefit that will occur, that will come after 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, correct. It will happen once we move in, we will save some rent, but that would be the way to look.
Okay, and just lastly on the repayment rate, since we are talking about 20% disbursement and 25% AUM, that means the longer duration product concentration within the overall mix is increasing, and that is where you are confident that the repayment rate at the overall level will come down. Something like
The LAP and HL are slightly longer tenor book. SBPL will also be a longer tenor book. TCL is a much shorter tenor book. So amongst them, there will be some carry forward of the longer tenor book coming in.
Perfect. That goes on. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viral Shah from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Actually, I have two questions, and if the operator permits, I will add one more. But sir, to begin with, you mentioned that the new business profitability will improve, right? And but will it still be higher than the overall company level ROA? So right now we have a PBT ROA for FY24 of 3.6%, whereas the new businesses are at 2.4%.
Yeah,
it will improve. It will improve because, again, as Ravi was saying, their OPEX should come down. And so there will be a reasonable shift in that, yeah.
Yeah, but on a weighted average basis, across the new businesses, it will be higher than the ROA of the overall.
Right. And, Vilayan, do you want to give that number? Like, what could that ROA look like, steady state?
You already asked Ravi for that number. He said he won't give that number. So I think we've given you enough guidance, and you know we don't get too particular on guidance at a segment level. But there's enough guidance to give you an indication, obviously, and we've indicated at a weighted average level, overall, it will be higher for those three businesses.
Fair enough. And basically the LAP segment, over there the credit costs since last 2 years have been fairly, I would say, closer to nil, and of course we have seen a tremendous improvement in the asset quality also over there. But how long can this say a nil kind of credit cost continue in that segment, and consequently if say it normalizes over there, how would our overall credit cost could look like given the mix change also in the picture?
You're pushing Suresh to continue.
I think if you can see the Stage 3 numbers, it has significantly we have resolved it. That's why current year you look at such a loan losses reversal. But yes, that I think that reversal is coming down. On a steady state, anything between 20 paise at about 25 paise will be a very good, I think we'll be doing very good. And I think that's our target in CL, that we'll range between that number, between 20 paise to 25.
Yeah. But then the question is whether any increase in losses or normalization will be offset by a reduction in OPEX.
One is it OPEX reduction they're planning, and then they're also planning to do income increase through their micro lab.
So overall, the rota will be maintained minimum at this level. Ravi is just sitting next to me, so definitely it will be more than this, but at least we'll maintain it.
Fair enough. And sir, last question. Can you give us a sense of what's the average tenure of the C-cell and the SME book? The reason I'm asking that is to get a sense of how seasoned right now the portfolio is and the numbers that we are seeing, and how can it be relatively when it further seasons?
The average tenure is around, for C-cell book is, on the traditional book is around 44 to 48 months.
Okay.
The weighted average will come down because the other products are
really low. This is only traditional.
48 is total.
Average is 44.
No. Lower, no? So.
Only traditional is tough.
And only traditional. So if you bring it, everything combined, it will come down to a bit under 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them are door-to-door, so average will be in the range of around 3 years for C-cell, and in SME, it will be around 5 to 6 years.
Equipment finance, we do, that is close to 5 years in equipment finance. Term loan would be close to 10 years, and supply chain is only 90 days, bill discounting. So there are three products, major product in SME. So this is a 10 years.
Okay. And the weighted average tenure, do you want to give out that? For SME?
It'll be code.
So it will depend on the mix as we keep moving between the products, because as we keep, we have to look at what products we are focusing on. So we will work out with that as we move, develop each of these products.
Fair enough. Thank you for taking my questions and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranjal Shah from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. Just two questions from my side. One is your standard cover on stage 1 and stage 2 has reduced. I'm assuming your PGD and LGD assumptions have improved. So in that context, do you have a lowering your guidance for credit cost for FY25?
So, see, what happens is every year we have to include the current year and build on that. So, as you know, it was a little higher during the COVID period. Now, as we are performing better, that this year's contribution comes into play. So, that would be implemented. If we continue to this maintain this trend, it should. But right now, don't count your chickens right now.
Got it, sir. But no as such credit card guidance that you would want to provide as of now. Got it. And sir, just one last question was on the SRTO profitability. Like, we have seen new vehicle and also used vehicle prices rise about 25-50% over the last 1 year. Could you just make a comment on how you're seeing SRTO profitability move about on the overall EMI repayments?
So the SRTO profitability is now quite maintained because the diesel prices are at the same level. In fact, it has improved 2 rupees for the last year.
Yeah. So I was talking about the SRTO's profitability.
Yeah.
SRTO's profitability is mainly depending on the fuel consumption, and that is actually the fuel prices have little gone down. Second is that SRTO also decided not to go into the heavy commercial vehicle segment of new, and they decided to basically stay in the intermediary commercial vehicle or the used commercial vehicle. That's the reason we are also focusing used commercial vehicle, light commercial vehicle, but we are not focusing more on heavy commercial vehicle because the heavy commercial vehicle is more beneficial to the captive users and large fleet operator who are getting the GST benefit also. The SRTOs are not getting benefit, but the prices of the vehicles are much lower. Their EMI affordability is also good. So that is the difference in the SRTO and the other segment of the customer who are operating in the commercial vehicle segment.
So the previous SRTO who used to go for new vehicles are more preferring used. Is that the understanding?
That's correct.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sunil M. Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations for such a wonderful performance during last year and then 5, 10, 15 year commendable job you are doing. Sir, your view, macro view on the competition intensity by banks, private, public, they are moving inside the country from tier 2 to 3, 4, 5. Then other small NBFCs and small finance banks, if you can throw some light in your understanding about the intensity of competition will be really helpful.
Yeah. So as we maintained and mentioned in the past also, the banks are more into the top of the pyramid and in the urban market, salaried class and with financial class category of the customers. We are into self-employed category of the customer and tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 town. And as we see the growth coming in the country, economy is growing, the bottom of the pyramid of the category of the cities are also doing better. And small commercial vehicle, light commercial vehicle use, loan against property, smaller ticket size loan or affordable housing or SME smaller ticket size loan or equipment finance or business loan, consumer loan, those things are growing better, which is basically being funded still by the NBFC in the smaller finance companies, and is going to be continued because we are developing country, and this developing to developed country will take another 20 years for reaching to that level, and we will be definitely growing because of the opportunity available in the country. The SBPL is another product which is basically providing funding to the SME segment, small micro SME segment. And if India has to grow, the small SME has to grow. There are so many grocery shop or small merchants are there who are now increasing their sales, but they need capital, they need funding, which we are providing, and those are actually the with collateral secured funding and doing well in the market. We need to identify such customers, such market, and also ensure that our processes are very clear and we don't get into any kind of, wrong processes by in the process of lending customers. So evaluation of the property, evaluation of the customer, the valuation should be absolutely right. Then you can do even self-employed customer who are not in position to produce the income proof, but they are doing better.
Sir, your view on intensity of competition compared to say last year or two, do you see now people are realizing that there should be some sanity in terms of pricing? Because we hear a lot about mortgage business getting madness like competition. So what's your view?
Yeah, there are three situations. No? One is that if the newcomer come, then they try to basically do higher LTV and lower pricing and give a higher payout incentive to the person who is actually sourcing. So we are not into that game, and that is happening more into the urban market, not in the rural market. The rural market challenges are collection, evaluation, process, and people. So our reach is basically helping us to avoid that competition in the urban market. As far as the competition is concerned, we don't see in our segment competition is that intensive because we are more into the middle of the pyramid into smaller town with a smaller customer where our people who are actually working with us for many years are consistently working. And here the main challenge is how can you retain and how can you train and how can you get the job done without deviating processes, which we are doing it.
Yes, sir. Congratulations again and good, lots of good wishes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for good numbers. So firstly, on yield side, if we purely look at it in terms of the interest income trend and look at the UM, then it seems there is some maybe the moderation out there in Q. Last quarter, you indicated that we should see some benefit as marginal book yield is higher, marginal yields are higher than the book yield, and we should see some repricing benefit. If you can just help, maybe how should we look at the yield trends. So that's the first question.
So you're talking from the vehicle finance side or from the overall company side?
No, from overall perspective, if you look at it, because interest income, that number is broadly overall. And so that's so, where, yeah.
So it is better to see the page number 18, which is the 10 years sheet which we have given.
Yeah.
The total income to asset is actually 14.4 and our ROE is 3.4. Our peak ROE was 3.7 in 2018, FY18, when the income was 14.7. The cost of fund was 7.1, now it is 6.9. It's a similar situation. The ROE was 3.7. So our target is to take 3.4 to 3.5 and 3.7 by increasing the income from 14.4 to 14.7 and improving the OPEX line. So we are more or less very close to the peak number. It's just the OPEX is 10 bips high and our you know, the income is 30 basis point lower. This 30 basis point income, which is lower, is going to come back because we have a two type of book. One is fixed and the others are floating. The SME and LAP and HLR, the floating book where the reset has been done. But vehicle finance is actually the fixed rate book where the it takes 2 years to basically come back to the peak level of the income line, which is actually now this year we are going to get back. So that is what is the plan, like how to reach out to 14.7 and deliver 3.7 in next 2 years time.
Absolutely. So I agree on overall income side, but there is an element of fee income led by more of insurance also, which we reclassified last time. So maybe the income seems to be slightly elevated because of this fee income stream. But if we adjust for that, then the only thing was maybe overall on the pure interest income that seems to be moderating. So that was the question. Yeah, I agree completely on the overall income side because of the fee income pool. Yeah.
The fee income now gets amortized. It is not like, you get them bulk when you do more disbursement, etc. Under Ind AS, it has to be amortized. Similarly, the cost element of that will also get amortized. Long time back, when we were in IGAP, we used to upfront both. That is, the fee income was upfronted and the cost also was fully charged off. So it won't make a big difference. There has been no visible shifts in those numbers. So they will run as per the normal process.
Sure. And between fee income and the OPEX, would there be any overlap or reclassification which is leading to both the line items slightly higher this quarter?
Yeah, that is the OPEX relating to the insurance income generation comes to us also, no? Because earlier
So last quarter that was 160 odd crores. Maybe I don't know, maybe the exact amount, but what would be that quantum this quarter if we have to look at it?
Can't divulge individual numbers because it all depends on various factors like some businesses, some locations, people will do multitasking, there will be specific people. So accordingly, the cost gets allocated. But we can't go too nitty-gritty into that right now.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Thanks and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hey. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had a few questions. First one is just to harp a little bit more on the OPEX line item. Your employee cost growth is about 100%, whereas your employee base has increased only by 20%, which implies steep escalation in salaries. Now, I understand that you would have given incentives as well, but I've been looking at this trend for last three quarters at least, where cost per employee has been increasing at some 50 to 70%. So how should one read that? That's my first question.
No, see, we have also during the year, I think somewhere in the middle of the second quarter or at the end of second quarter, we shifted a large part of our outsourced employees, which was in a separate company catering only to us, onto our payroll. So from an outsourcing cost, it moved to salary. So that is one large reason. Of course, the expansion of the various businesses in newer geographies and the growth in those divisions have also
increased the cost there. This is why the salary cost looks a little inflated. The other part which I said earlier, the insurance part of the cost also comes into the salary cost now, because these employees are also now working under Chola for generating the insurance income.
Okay, thanks. My second question is on the write-offs. So, as per my estimates, I think that comes to about 370 or 380 crores for the quarter, which if I look at as percentage of the opening GNP, that's about 9%, which is it's trending higher in last two quarters versus, you know, what we've seen in several quarters previously, a run rate of around 5-6%. Why is that? Which segment are these write-offs coming from? Would this primarily be the new business segments?
No, it is, as the business grows, these things will also, in absolute terms, will look like inflated, but as percentages, they are within the numbers which we are targeting. See, we have always indicated or given a sort of a guidance that NCL as a percentage would be in the range of around anywhere between the 0.8 to 1.2. We are at 1.1 right now at the company level, so we are comfortable with these levels.
The other thing is that it was actually consistent for the last quarter itself. The number,
The write-off number is actually same as Q3. Actually, it is at same level, and we mentioned that Q3 or Q2 level, the write-off in the case of partnership is now into coming in the our book. Earlier, it used to be actually netted up against the income line, no? So that is the reason, to that extent, the write-off is slightly higher. But it is same level as Q2, Q3, Q4.
Sure, sure. Just one last question from my side on the home loan portfolio. When I look at last several quarters, your disbursement growth has been pretty high in the quarters where you've expanded the HL branch network pretty significantly. But if I look at last two quarters, the HL network has expanded only by 3-4% quarter on quarter. Does that also mean that your disbursement growth will slow down from, say, current run rate of 24% in the coming quarters or over the next 2 years? Some color on that would be very useful. Thanks. That's all from my side.
So for the HL, we see that we'll be better than the expected market growth. Generally, the trend is 14-17% the industry average. We'll be at least at 25% growth for the Q1. We are expanding the network. The current plan is to sustain and increase the efficiency, because this is the year I want that the OPEX has to come down, because as a company, we are focused on increasing the efficiency. So we'll be focused on productivity and ensure all the collection team members are in place in branches. The second part of the year, you will see the growth towards, we are experimenting the taluka level expansions, that's tier 3, tier 4 rural market. So we are piloting that project, and we'll see the expansion on that during the second half of the year.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anurag Mantri from Oxbow. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. One is on the SBPL. So if I heard correctly, I think you mentioned that the it cost in this can probably inch up a bit, and that can be offset by OPEX. Just wanted to understand, if you compare, say, your credit cost of I think 60-24 versus, say, a 5-star, which is the other large district player in this case. I think their FI24 credit cost is like 70 bits. So just want to understand the comment of, you think that, why do you think that this credit cost in this segment can inch up a bit? If you can indicate any range, you think where it can reach out. And the second question is on the used vehicle side. So over the last couple of years, seems that a lot of players have basically been focusing on the used segment post-COVID, including some of the larger banks. So do you see that putting any pressure on maybe yields overall, or do you think that the overall pie has expanded, that is that the SRT is buying more used vehicles?
Okay. So the first question is the SBPL, where as of now the net credit cost is 0.6%. So we are going to try, keep it at this level or slightly it will go up. And at the industry level, one company who is basically similar, you know that and you have mentioned that, their credit card cost, and we will do better than that, that is for sure. Second is that in the case of used business, as we mentioned, that our reach is much bigger than the new companies who have started doing it. And all those new companies are actually experimenting in the mainly in the urban market where the rates are slightly lower. But the majority of the business is happening in the smaller towns and there the yields are better. And that is the reason at an overall level, we have not seen our used business yields are coming down as of now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Congratulations on strong performance. I just have one question left. What will be the recent trend in bounce rate and overflow in CSEL? And is the stage 2 level there coming down or stabilizing? Just wanted more visibility on the future NPA.
Bounce rate is at around 9% CSEL traditional.
Okay. And is the stage 2 coming off there?
No, stage 2 is actually, both bounce rates and stage 2 are maintained at the same level. There is no increase in last 3 quarters.
Okay. And just one data, this the micro lab, yeah, low ticket, better yielding lab product within the overall insurance gap than overall disbursement. What has been the trend there?
So micro lab is part of the lab product, and so what is the trend you are asking for? Sorry.
Share in disbursement in insurance.
So it's about currently on a monthly disbursement event, that's about 10 to 12% of our lab disbursement is our micro lab disbursement.
Got it. Thank you. Best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Banti Chawla from IDBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving the opportunity. Most of the questions has been answered. Just one point. On the slide, you have given the margins improvement on a quarter-on-quarter basis, which is approximately 40 bps. So if we see that has been driven by the yield increment, have we taken any price hike during the quarter or is it just due to the business mix change? If you can throw some light on that.
See, in the case of vehicle finance, we have increased the prices in the month of December across all product segments, and that has helped us to increase the yield further, but that is on the marginal book yield.
In the case of both margin yield also improved, rate
reduction.
So on the lab side, we have done both increase in the margin yield as well as we have done a price reset of 40 paise, but that's only in the month of March, so it not have much effect on that. But the primary reason is on the marginal yield increase.
So can we say, as previously we have shared, that cost of funds seems to have been peaked out, and if there is a no rate hike or stability in repo rate, there should be further improvement in the margin because incremental yield should go ahead because of the rate hike taken?
No, it is possible, but I would right now hold, as I said, that's all that put together is what is the improvement in the ROTA we are talking about. Let's see as we progress into the year where the cost of funds settles down, because, there are other things we have to look at it. As we widen the base for borrowing, there can be incremental costs like ECBs or public debt, etc. But we will watch it, and right now we don't want to over promise on those numbers.
Given the 15-year data, what we have observed in last 3 years, there has been a decline in the margin. So just need to say that at least we can say sustain at this 7.5% level for a full year basis, at least.
Yeah, you can look at it like a pre-COVID levels. Pre-COVID levels, we will be back to pre-COVID levels.
Okay. That was very helpful, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, please limit your question to strictly one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Sangvi from Fortress Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. First of all, many congratulations, and we appreciate the disclosures, granular disclosures on the different businesses. My question is actually on the geographical expansion. So we've seen that the new businesses have been, you know, co-located with the vehicle finance branches. So what are we doing to, you know, enhance the capacity in the branches going ahead? So geographical, you know, expansion itself. And second question would be on the fee income. So we've seen continuous improvement in the fee to assets as a percentage. So what is the management's, you know, outlook and things that you're doing to improve the fee mix? Thank you.
Okay. So good. One that, you know, all the branches are co-located, and whenever the branches are having a constraint in terms of the place, we are actually relocating. So every year we are doing two things. One, the new branch opening, and as well as the relocation of the branches. So almost 20% of the branches are getting relocated because they need a more space. We have done that in this last financial year also, almost 300 branches basically expanded that means we have opened up in the new premises, which is larger than the existing one, and at the same time we have opened up the new branches close to 300. We have 545 RLH operational for vehicle finance, where we are going to convert them into branches in time to come once they start hitting the threshold. But now, as and when they start hitting the threshold, we are creating provision for other business line also, because within a year or 2 years' time, the other business also will start coming. So from the beginning itself, we are trying to basically get bigger premises for the new branches as well.
Got it, sir. Sir, and on the fee front, what are the management, you know, taking efforts to enhance this? Thank you.
No, we have been continuously, you know, working on the fee side, whether it is a disbursement fee or it is an insurance cross sale or it is a collection fee. So all we are working is a part and parcel of the business, because the business is growing. Obviously, the fee part is along with that growing, but in terms of percentage, it is maintained. And as we mentioned, that it is not that ad hoc basis we are taking the interest. It is not upfront income we are booking it. It is a amortized fee income, which is coming in our book.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikram Subramaniam from Marshall Wace. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get some clarification on the overall ECL cover. This is something that we've been noticing has been steadily dropping. So now the overall ECL cover is at about 170 bps on the total portfolio. I understand the portfolio quality has been improving steadily and is at a very good stage right now. Is there any plans to, create some macro prudential provisioning, given we are at, a very good credit cycle, and this is a good time to create some buffers for sometime later when cycle could turn bad? And also, given the fact that 170 books seems a bit, low. I just want to know at what point you might consider creating such a provision. Is it based on, a time frame, or is it based on any early warning signals?
See, the provision coverage is a derived number based on the PDLGTs of the respective products. Now, on top of it, we are also building a macro-based provision requirement. Actually, this time the macro projections, as per macro projections are also done by an external consultant, and the macro projections, because the GDP growth and all other factors are positive, so the macro provisions also we could not make any large incremental provisions on that, because we have to be constrained with making provisions within the model. We can't we can't on our own increase it to 2% or 2.5%. No, if the portfolio is behaving well, then that is reflected in the PDLGDs and accordingly provision needs to be made. Only in the period of COVID, we made a management overlay because of the uncertainty in the environment. Unfortunately, Ind AS does not allow us to create incremental provision. Having said that, I want to mention that as compared to RBI, we are all provisioning norm. We are almost 700 crores above the norm. So the portfolio quality is good. The, you know, the NPA numbers are lower. So accordingly, these numbers will come. If you are looking at it and on an overall basis, because stage 1 and stage 2 numbers will drive down, because they are the denominators, they will drive down this ratio if my stage 1 is good. So it shouldn't be that we should penalize when my stage 1 is larger and make it like, you know, no, my provision coverage is not adequate. The provision coverage is to be looked at on the NPA numbers, which we have maintained at the 45% numbers, which we have increased to 46% or so, which is around the 45-46% numbers, which is where the risk lies and we are having adequate coverage.
Sure, that's clear. So no, I also asked because on stage 1 as well, there seems to be some reduction in coverage. But thanks for that answer. That's clear. If I may just, can you give some color on what the current PD and LGDs are for?
No, we cannot give those numbers. These are, you know, these are not one single numbers per se. It's even for every product, there is so much sub-segment-wise classifications. The breakup of the segments, we have covered it in the presentation. I think it's there in the ECL policy note in the, which is in the website.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Aratha.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Congrats on the quarter. Just one question on the funding side.
Yeah. Hello?
Hi, audible?
Hello? Go ahead. Yeah. Cannot hear you.
Is it better now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just wanted to understand how is the incremental cost of funds, not just from banks, but across all types of creditors, moved over the past quarter with the risk weight guidelines. And secondly, is there any cost difference, or rather, how much is the cost difference between securitization and pure bank borrowings?
See, it all depends on the nature of asset that gets securitized vis-a-vis, you know, bank borrowings and prior we give underlying assets. In both cases, we leverage priority sectors. So if there is a priority sector segment, then there is a benefit of around 25 to 40 bits, depending on what sort of priority sector assets we provide. Like there is a larger benefit on agri assets and a smaller benefit on M1 category or M2 category of MSME. All this needs to be supported by documents like land documents for agri as well as Udyam certificate for others. So there will be differences between each of these lending or borrowing profiles. Independently, I cannot discuss on the pricing of each vertical because that by itself is a sensitive information as well as not a publicly available information.
Okay, fair enough. And just on how incremental cost of funds have trended, say, since November?
No, that's already given. No, we have held, we have brought it down marginally. If you look at the full year, we are at the 6.9% levels, which we have talked about on an AUM basis. At a borrowing level basis, it should be in the range of around 8%.
Okay, so that has not moved up. Like, that's not changed really.
But then it will keep moving depending on mix. You know, it's not like if I keep doing more of short-term, long-term securitization, it will move. I mean, you have to look at it. I think the amount of disclosures they are giving by itself is quite exhaustive. So I think, you know, we can't extend this beyond this.
Okay, fair enough, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Thank you.
On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.